This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine at Joy 94.9, which is powered by 100% renewable energy.
There you go. There you go.
All that wind up near Ararat, it's keeping us on air.
Now, Makaram, we're changing direction altogether. At the end of last year, I attended a forum at an organisation called Turning Point. Turning Point is a leading alcohol and drug treatment research and training service based in here in Richmond. And I heard a speaker called Kristen Smith. Kristen Smith worked at Turning Point, but has a background in politics, was an advisor to Greens Member of Parliament, and has a long history of service in the public sector, and has been through their own journey and is here really to talk to us about their own journey. So Kristen commenced their life as a man, has transitioned, is now living as a trans woman. Good morning to you, Kristen.
Good morning.
Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
So, your journey has been pretty amazing.
Arrived in Australia 10 and a half years ago.
There you go.
That's it, yes. Suitcase, a little bit of cash, no idea. Had a big plan to go and photograph the alcohol problem in the Northern Territory. Got up to Katherine. There was Walk the Line was being played on the public tannoy system, and I saw a queue of people waiting for the 2 o'clock opening.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, this is a bit different from London.
Wow.
They're waiting for the pub to open, or, you know, the grog shop to open.
Yeah, the queue of people on foot and a queue of cars, 4x4s, and they were all after the same thing.
And is that what got you working in the alcohol and drug area, or was that completely not related to that experience at all?
Well, I'm a recovering alcoholic, so I kind of went with the area that I knew quite well. I'd worked at the King's Fund for a year in the UK, so I had this notional, well, it's an incredibly well-regarded public health think tank. Somehow I'd got a job there, so I was there for a year and came to Australia, thought I must be able to get a job. I applied for 200 jobs. At one point, I applied for a bar worker job at the Enmore Theatre, and the dear person who worked there said, I think you're a little bit overqualified for us.
So when did your journey as a transitioning journey begin, and what stimulated that?
Well, the key point was the Bourke Street tragedy a few years ago. My partner had made a decision. She decided to stand on the steps of H&M instead of taking a turn towards the station, and contacted me just after the car ploughed through. And she held a number of people. She's come from a place of trauma and tragedy herself, so she's used to walking towards things rather than away. Anyway, later on that afternoon, I was having an MRI scan, and I picked her up, and she was in shock, and I hadn't quite appreciated what was happening, so I was listening to, they said, what would you like to listen to as the MRI jackhammer is beginning to operate? And I said, well, I'll listen to the news. So I'm hearing people's eyewitness accounts of what's happened, and suddenly I began to have this experience of a traumatic, post-traumatic experience. And dear Barb Kelly, who was a long-standing servant at the Turning Point, on Monday morning said to me, Christian, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. She said, no, you're not, and gave me a number of a psychologist, and off I went. That's how the whole thing opened up.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Years of repression.
Wow. And had you ever thought of yourself as being a woman?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I say yes quite freely now, but at the time, trying on my mum's clothes at 10 or 11, trying on partner's clothes during my teenage years, thinking there was something strange—not strange, but different—and not something that I would be able to talk about. Came from an Irish Catholic alcoholic, the CIA, Catholic Irish Alcoholics, and you expressed your feelings by hitting things or shouting at things. You certainly didn't talk about, shall we say, quite tricky, sensitive, emotional stuff like this. And so I had my dad on the one side like that, and my mum's response was to suppress everything. So you weren't allowed to emote in any way whatsoever. And I was caught in the middle trying on lovely dresses and shoes and knee-high snakeskin boots, which my mum assures me she still has, and thinking, this must be, I don't know what this is. And then years later, as I dated and I had partners, and they would say, I'm not going out with you looking like that. So I would have to kind of retreat and wear cis male clothing and feel very uncomfortable.
Did you dress as a woman?
I would have fabulous hours in front of the mirror, imagining a life where I could be this free and this happy. And then I'd hear the door, at the front door, if it was at home, turn the lock and think, rush, must put everything back. Mm-hmm. Have I put it all back the way it was when I first had it, you know, that kind of experience. So real repression. I understand that this is quite common now.
Yes.
This sense of a traumatic episode unlocking something. And a dear friend of mine who is trans said to me, you will probably begin to have a series of penny drop moments where you go, oh yeah, that's what that was, you know.
Yeah, because I suppose, you know, this event, you know, was let's call it the trigger event, but as you said, there are other things that have happened that perhaps didn't just trigger. It sort of tickled it a bit, and then now you think about it and you go, you know, as you said, ah. So I'm interested here, Kristen, that, you know, you come across as really together. You know, it's been a difficult journey. How do you, you know, get
come to across? What are you talking about?
No, you know,
it's such a front.
You know, confident. You know, and that's a challenge for all of us. But, you know, the journey you've been through, I think that's awesome. And, you know, to be able to talk about it and be proud of it and be open about it, we can all learn from that.
Thank you. That's it's, on the one hand, it's wonderful. I mean, I've got 15 years of no alcohol, drugs, and you learn a lot about yourself as you're working through recovery in that sense. There was always a sense that something quite wasn't right. I'd still have flashes of anger. I'd still have moments where, you know, I'd be doing something, I'd feel like I wasn't really in the right place. Yeah. So just a kind of echo, a sense somewhere back in the past that something wasn't quite there. And the problem with being, shall we say, you know, grammar school educated and all the rest of it, and you can present relatively coherently, and people will think that you're fine, and they'll be somewhat bemused if you say, you know, I'm actually feeling a bit fragile. And they'll be, really?
Yeah.
There's a long line of fragility, and you are way at the back of that. And I'd be thinking, well, actually, I'm not. And I understand what reacting to that is like because of many years of chaotic life as an alcoholic. And so I'm incredibly grateful for the tragedy of the events that happened at Bourke Street, but what has happened is an unexpected opportunity for me to delve deeper into "To Thine Own Self Be True." Let's call it that.
What an extraordinary journey you've been through, Kristen. you know, when I was thinking about what direction our conversation would take today, the theme that came through my head was about authenticity.
Yes.
It's about being honest, it's about being true to yourself, and it's about being authentic. And I can see all of that coming through in what you've been talking about. What's your message to our listeners out there and to anybody who might be, you know, exploring or thinking or having issues? What do you say to them? What's your advice?
My advice, I'll sum it up in a little quick story. I'm starting at the VCA in 2 or 3 weeks' time, doing a master's in writing for performance. I have always yearned to write. And at the start of the interview, when they sat down in front of me, they said to me very gently, "How come it's taken you so long to get here?" And I just started crying. And I said, "You have no idea. At 10, I was writing. At 15, I was writing, you know, plays and ideas. And I never thought I had permission to own this and to show it to anyone. And even in my early 20s, when I showed work to some fairly well-regarded writers and actors in London, and they said, "This is great." And I was so full of fear that I became an aid worker. I went off and did something else. I did an MBA. I did whatever it was other than the thing that I knew was what I was truly wanting to be. And what I realize is, and I'm so grateful for this, is the amount of love that I've received from people, friends, colleagues, people who've now got to know me, is that I just didn't know how to love myself. So if anyone is feeling that sense of even a hint of possibility that they are, that there's some part of them that isn't quite connecting in the right way, then it's about knowing that you are lovable and you can love yourself. And I think what I found is that putting yourself in and amongst people who love you, there's a wonderful phrase that I've heard in recovery, which is that, you know, we will love you until you learn to start loving yourself. It's taken me a long time to learn to love yourself.
Learn to love yourself. Kristen, I really appreciate you coming to the studio this morning. Yeah, it's such an inspiration. Thank you for sharing your story, your journey with our listeners this morning.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I know that people will be very interested, and I know that there'll be lots of people searching through and looking up your podcast later on. Once again, thank you for coming
in. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And are you still working at Turning Point?
I am. I'm trying to fit it all in. I've been assured by my wonderful Dan Lubman that we can make it work. So we'll see. I'm very busy.
Sounding like a glutton for punishment there.
Great. Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.